And this morning, God has put it on my heart, and it's been a couple of weeks coming, a message that I believe is relevant to everybody in the room. And it's a message about God's restoring power, restoration. And we look at Notre Dame, for example, that was burnt down in 2019, how people, resources have come in to bring that building back. And sometimes it's not exactly the same, but it's restored. And you can go and visit now and admire what happened to restore that building. And of course, Doris loves it because it's in Paris. And she's from France. She's from around there. So the Bible is full of stories of people who God restored, packed with stories about restoration. This morning, I don't want to speak about one particular area of restoration, but I'd like to mention kind of a general restoration vision for you as an individual. God restores time. The Bible says he restores the years the locusts have eaten in Joel chapter 2. So he restores time. He also restores things that are lost. You remember the axe head was lost in the water. It wasn't an intentional losing. And don't you love it? Even if you haven't intended to lose something, God will recover it for you. And the word of the Lord came and the axe head floated. I call that restoration. But primarily, and this is the whole purpose of Jesus coming, God restores people. That's his ultimate value on earth. People are his greatest treasure, which means you. And Jesus died for people, all people actually, in every generation. And Jesus went to the cross to recover all that the fall lost. Sin and the enemy had created havoc, but Jesus restores all. And I believe we're in days, and actually Acts speaks about these days in Acts chapter 3. And this is what's exciting, that before Jesus returns, there will be times of restoration. And we're in those times. Times of restoration of all things. So Jesus is in the restoring business. He restores us in our relationship with God through faith in Jesus and brings us to peace through trusting Jesus. But he also restores other things, things that matter in your life. People. He's amazing at restoring brokenhearted people. Jesus healed the sick. He restored sight. He restored legs that wouldn't work. He restored bodies, minds that were tormented, souls that were in distress. Jesus is the master restorer. And Jesus taught a parable in Luke chapter 15 about a woman who had 10 coins and lost one. And it says that that coin was so valuable, it bothered her that she'd lost it. And I hope the word today will make you bothered about what you've lost. That you'll see some things today and say, actually, I'm bothered. I don't want to live with what I've lost. I want to reach out and seek and find restoration in my life. And the first thing Jesus said about this woman is that she lit a lamp. She brought light into the darkness. And today, the word of God is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path to enable you to see how to be restored. The spirit of the man is the lamp of the Lord, the scripture says. So light needs to come. So we're going to pray. In fact, I'm not going to do all the praying. You're going to pray for yourself. Because the woman lost a coin in her own house. She wasn't praying for somebody else's house. She was praying for, this is going to be really important, that you hear the word for you today, not for another situation. But what you receive today, you'll be able to help others into. Yes, yes, yes. So, you know, sometimes it's really easy to say, oh, I'm glad they're in, that they're hearing this today. And you miss everything God's saying. God wants to lighten your lamp so that you can come to a place of restoration. So I'd like you to pray out loud, but you don't have to be too embarrassed because I don't need you to shout. But just speak out under your breath, Lord, I ask for light. So would you pray? Lighten my heart, my mind. I'm reaching you, reaching out to you. I need to know how to be restored today. I want to recover that lost coin, that situation that needs restoration in my heart and my life. And you're the master restorer, Jesus. So we come to you all through scripture. Everybody who came to you asking, received. And we receive today by faith that you will enlighten our lamps so that we can see how to be restored back to the fullness of what you intend life to be, and even better. And even better, because that's what Jesus does. He makes things even better. Amen. In the book of Job, it's not my favorite book. I don't run to it and say, I really want to read the book of Job. But the story is about loss. It's about having friends that misinterpret what's happened and are critical about how you're handling it. And the Lord said to him, pray for your friends. And after Job prayed for his friends, the Lord restored different but better. Double. It says Job prayed for his friends and he got different and but double better than before. And that's amazing. That's the heart of God for people, isn't it? His will, his heart is to restore what is lost. So we understand that God wants to, but I believe that it's really important as we've prayed that we know the steps to restoration. Not just that God wills to restore, but we need to know how. What steps do we need to take so that we are recipients of restoration? Is that good? Well, the first scripture I'd like to turn to is in John chapter 5, and we're going to run through a lot of scriptures this morning, but they're really important to get the end result. If you want restoration today, has anybody in the room want to be restored in something personally? Health, whatever. If you're in debt, you want restoration. You want to see God restore things. Well, it's really important we follow the principles of the Bible that teaches us how to be restored. And in John chapter 5, Jesus comes to this place where a lot of sick people were lying. And it was full of people waiting to be healed, basically. And when Jesus saw this guy lying there and knew that he'd already been in that condition, so he needed restoring. A long time, actually, I think it was something like 38 years or something. A long time, he said to him, interesting question from Jesus. Do you want to be? Do you want to be restored? I don't think we realize the significance of this first step to restoration. Do you want? Because you see, we don't really get it that God only works with a person's will. He never gate crashes your life, knocks down a door to get in. He waits for you to open the door. He might knock, but you do the opening. Okay? Now, this is really important because some people might not want to be restored. They might have different reasons. Can I say to this man, if his answer actually was, I really do want to, but I can't do it. It was different. He says, I want to, but I can't. And Jesus is the I can in the equation. When you want to, he says, I can. So he works with your will in this. I would like you to imagine with me if this man thought about that question and said, well, actually, if I got use of my legs, I'd probably have to leave being carried everywhere. Everybody's supporting me, and I might even have to get a job if I got healed. I've actually prayed for somebody and God healed them out of a wheelchair. Do you remember in Italy? And they said they didn't want it because they began to think of the consequences of getting healed. And they sat back down. And they lost their healing through their will. I'd rather be on benefits than work. Now, I'm not making this about benefits, but I am making it about the benefits of salvation. And Jesus says, do you want? There are benefits waiting if you want. And so it's a serious question. Is this an area of your life you'd like restored? And if it's a big yes, which I imagine the majority, if you think it through, would like to be restored, it's yes, but I need a miracle. Praise God. So you're in a place, the first step, Lord, I need to be restored. God respects people's will so much that if you reject Jesus, even though it's his will that you're saved, you can go to hell. He won't stop someone who rejects him, rejects Jesus. It doesn't mean to say he won't work in their lives through the prayers of people, but he won't stop you because he respects that he gave you free will. You have the power of choice. And the man chose restoration in his answer. That's point number one, the first step. Yes, Lord, I want. I mean, I'm in that camp today, but I can't speak for you. Only God and you have that knowledge. Now, the second thing I want to say about the next step of restoration is that different people need to take different steps. And I'm going to bring four cases. I started with two and I ended up with four. I don't want this to be a long message, but I want you to be informed so that you can be restored. Is that okay? I'm trying to help you into, with the word of God today, into restoration. So there are four different cases we're going to look at very quickly. There may be more, but this is for time. First of all, there's David at Ziklag. He'd been out to war. He was doing the right thing. And the enemy had come whilst he and his army were away and devastated his home, stole all that he had. And he started to pray. He came to the Lord And he said, look, shall I go up? Shall I pursue? Because I've lost everything. And the Lord answered him and said, shall we say this together? Pursue. Ooh, that's for somebody here today. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the first case we're looking at loss, needing to be restored, is the enemy. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life in all its. But the enemy, the devil, the thief, comes to steal, to kill and destroy. So that's the first case. We need to know how it was lost. It was an enemy. And the Lord's answer is, go after. The Bible reveals a proactive believer who comes against the enemy, doesn't just pray to the Lord. Pursue and overtake them, because you will, let's say that together, you will recover. So what the enemy has taken from you, does anybody want to speak faith this morning? I will recover all. I will recover all. Because Jesus has already won the victory for me to recover all. Wonderful. That's case number one. Number two. A woman came, and this is in the Old Testament, to the king's court. She had experienced miracles being around the word and the prophet Elisha. And she came back from being told that she needed to leave her house, her lands, spend some time outside in other countries because there was a famine. But when she came back, she went to the king's palace really to ask him if she could have her house and her land back. It was always hers, but she had to leave it. Now, she wasn't in any way responsible. This is something called bad circumstances. So the second cause of the need for restoration is something bad happened. She wasn't responsible for it. But what happened is they're in this court chatting, and the king says to the servant of Elisha, says, can you tell me some of the stories about what God did? The miracles that Elisha did. I love it because God's got the timing perfect for this meeting. And the woman standing in the court, Gehazi, is saying, well, there was once this woman, and she had a son who died, and he got raised again from the dead. And Gehazi's looking around whilst telling the story, and he went, that's the woman whose son was raised from the dead. I'm talking timing. When it's your time, it's your time. That's the woman. And what did Elisha, the king, say? Let's just read this. When the king asked the woman, she told him, the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, let's read this together, restore all that was hers and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now. Now, only a king has got the power to do that. She knew where to go. Now, we have a relationship with the King of Kings, who has power to restore what bad circumstances took. Is anybody getting happy in the house today? This is good news. So the first one was the enemy. The second one was bad circumstances. Both situations were fully restored. That's all you have to know, really. And the word was released over the situation because God always watches over his word to perform it. It has to be spoken before it's done. And heard and received by the person needing help. He will restore all that was hers plus what she lost. Good news, good news. Isn't God good? See, your Father cares. Not just about your spiritual life. That is the primary goal. Your relationship with him. But he also cares about everything else around your life. And because Jesus died for a full inheritance, we need to be careful we don't settle for less. With religious thinking and teaching that says it's only my heart God's going to change. He's not going to change my circumstances. That is not the truth. The Bible is full of stories for our example so that we can lay claim to the restoring power of God in every situation. So, number three. You all right? He restores things that we lose because other people do it. Okay? Other people do wrong things. We just prayed about the train attack, knife attack. Other people do wrong. And there is a real need to recognize that when people do us wrong, there's a right way to be restored. Okay, and I'm going to use the example of Paul, because you see, people sin, and so do you. They make bad choices. You know, you hear these nightmarish stories about people gambling away their money, and suddenly it comes to light in the family. Everything's lost. Okay, so that's a bad choice, a wrong choice that has led to poverty for everybody else. Okay, so Paul, the apostle, like Jesus, he suffered many things in his life because of what others did to him. Do you have any believers here? And so will you. For doing the right thing, you will suffer. I'm going to this crowd. For doing the right thing, wrong things will happen. In this world, you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So Paul suffered at the hands of wicked people. Once they stoned him and left him for dead, they didn't care about his well-being at that point. They just wanted to destroy him. God restores what other people do. And I've got an example today that I believe is the essence of how we should respond when others abuse us, diminish us, hate us, reject us, do things that make us pay for their mistakes. Is that okay? I believe a saving word. I've got a saving word, a word of restoration for you. Paul, he's a prisoner in this stage, and it's in the book of Acts, not just yet. And he's being put on a ship as a prisoner. There's a centurion there, Roman centurion, guards, but there's also the owner and the captain of the ship. Now, you know, if you're an owner of a business, your primary goal is profit, usually. How are we going to get the most profit out of this trip? Okay? And so all you want to do is get to where you're going. And Paul, although he's not a sailor, he's not an expert in this particular subject, but because he's a man of God, God speaks to him. And he hears God in his heart, in his spirit, and he issues a warning to the experts. Can you imagine? It's a bit like a Christian warning a business, saying, don't make that decision. It's not the right choice for you. And Paul said, you know, we shouldn't sail. It's not the right time to be setting sail. They overrode his choice. They decided they had different goals and they'd be all right. Let me tell you, if you ignore God's advice, you never will be all right. You have to listen to what the Lord says, and sometimes you have to listen through those God gives you to speak into your life, to save you from loss. Right? Wisdom builds your life. Be a listener of those who warn. Anyway, the story goes that actually they ended up losing everything. But in the middle of the storm, which Paul actually had to go along with that decision, those choices. He wasn't sort of floating 30 feet up while the storm was going on in the boat. Okay, so he didn't avoid the awfulness of the moment. He was in with that ship when somebody else did it. He suffered because of that decision. But the way he prayed is so important when others treat you wrong and do bad to you and you suffer. This is it. Let's look at this. Acts 27, verse 21, you see. Okay, so they're in the storm. They've got no food. They've actually chucked all the cargo, the precious cargo, which was all the profit, overboard. They lost all their profits in the hope to save the ship. They realized they couldn't save the ship and they thought they were all dying. That's the level of the storm they were in. And Paul stood up in the midst of them and didn't say, it doesn't really matter that you made the wrong choice. He said, you should have listened. So there's an accountability coming in saying, why didn't you listen? God was speaking through me. You weren't listening. The warning came, but you didn't listen. You shouldn't have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Okay, so that's what's happened. Now, sometimes we need to say and recognize why we're in what we're in. And if it's somebody else responsible, sometimes it's right to say, actually, that you should never have treated me like that. However, take heart. This is what believers do when they've been mistreated. Take heart, because there'll be no loss of life. Only the ship. You're going to lose everything but your lives. Next verse. For there stood by me this night an angel of the Lord, to whom I belong and serve, saying, don't be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you, which means he'd prayed. He'd asked for the lives of the people who didn't listen. Ooh. Okay, do you know how big that is? It's a huge step to being restored out of what other people put you in. This is the big step. It's a big step, and it's the same step Jesus said we must take. When you stand praying, forgive. And then your Father will forgive you. Even though he acknowledges You were wrong. You should have listened. However, I've prayed a redeeming prayer. Not just for me. God has granted all of the lives on board. Now, I think sometimes if we could hear our prayers when people do this to us, I think sometimes Christians pray that everybody will drown. Drown them, Lord. Take them down. Judge everybody. Knock them dead. Because when we've been affected, our emotions can turn to offense and anger. And we start to wish really bad things on the people who did bad to us. And if we don't handle this point right, there isn't restoration ahead. We stop the process that God wants to put into operation to restore you to blessing. It's a big word today, isn't it? Is this helping you? So in other words, it was a forgiving prayer. A prayer that didn't say, oh, they never did anything. That's denial. They did. But I forgive. And I'm even going to pray you're going to be saved. Even though you did wrong, may God save you. You go opposite to what you feel. And you move into doing what Jesus said to do, to pray for your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. Forgive and pray that they will be saved. And actually, there was no loss of life. So, number one, the enemy took and you'll recover all. Number two, bad circumstances took everything. And you go to the king and pray and he will restore everything. Number three, others put you into this loss, in this difficulty. You pray, forgive, and not say everything was okay because it wasn't. But because you've forgiven, there's going to be a release of restoration, destiny, blessing, and a future and a hope for your life. Amen. Amen. This is such an important word. I don't think we realize. I know in my heart, restoration is different for different people. And you have to recognize which one am I? Not which one are they. Which one am I? Is this me, Lord? Is this me? Do I need to forgive somebody this morning and start the process of restoration in my life? Finally, the prodigal son. Most of us in the room know the story of the prodigal son. Father had two sons. One of them wanted all the inheritance to spend on himself, what he wanted. So he left the father's house. He partied, he spent all his money on his so-called friends, away from the home that God had provided for him. And I want you to see the real reality of being restored out of that. Because if you're that person today, there's a way back. Isn't that wonderful? Because the Father wants you back, but it's not on the terms of the old kind of prodigal. It's the prodigal who changes, comes back into the inheritance. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the greatest dangers I think we have as the church generally, and it's something that William Booth said, a famous man. He said, the church Christianity in the future will be Christianity without Christ, without the cross, but it'll also be forgiveness without repentance. And I really feel that the prodigal shows us that there has to be repentance first before there's forgiveness. Right. Not just forgiveness. God doesn't forgive you while you're doing your own thing in pig's will. He forgives you when you repent, make changes, and come back to him and his ways. Okay, so the first step that happened to the prodigal is seen in Luke 15, 17. What had happened? He spent everything. He got a job feeding pigs. And he was so hungry, he was eating pig food. And God didn't rescue him yet. Really important, you know, the proper way to be restored. God didn't rescue him from here. It says, when he came to himself, there is the first thing. I'm going to examine my contribution to where I am. Is the light coming this morning? Light, let the light shine in your hearts. I'm going to examine why I'm in what I... Where did I miss it? Without condemnation, God isn't going to beat you up. But I'm going to have to acknowledge it was me. The reason I'm here is because I did it. This is another case. A different person who needs restoration. The same outcome, but a different way. Right? When he came to himself, oh my goodness, the wonder of coming to yourself. It's a victory moment. It's like, oh, I messed it. I was totally wrong. And then he starts to think about what he's lost. And he says, well, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. Thank you. Next verse. I will arise and go to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. Can I just unpack that a bit? Yes, please. Is this okay to unpack this? The path of restoration at this point. You've sinned. You've been wrong. You did it all. And you're suffering. God isn't just going to suddenly send an angel to lift you out. You'll need to come to your senses, come to yourself and say, actually, I acknowledge my sin before God. It was me and I have sinned. God can do anything with someone who's like that. He will restore anybody. The worst murderer that has ever lived will find mercy if they say, I have sinned. And he says, I'm going to get up and go back. Not just ask God to come here to me. I am going to put this right and take steps to get this right. Are you hearing the Lord? Counsel of the Lord. It leads us to victory. We can become winners when we do it God's way. And he says, I'm going to say to him, I'm just going to come out with it. I've sinned. And he says, I've sinned two ways. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against people. Because whatever sin you have in your life affects your relationship with God, but it definitely affects everybody else. It affects everything around you. You can't just say, my sin has no effect on them. It's not true. And so he says, I acknowledge I've not only sinned, I'm really sorry. So, and you know the brilliant, brilliant, brilliant ending and restoration that takes place after this. As he goes, the father is already looking out for the son to return. And actually the son comes like saying, I'll just say, I'll be like one of the hired servants. So he's coming back. He left like this. That's right. It's all about me. It's all about, came back, cap in hand. I've come to be a servant in your house. I've come down, I've come in a low place. I want to tell you that like water, mercy flows to low places, flows down, it flows off the proud, and it comes to the humble. He comes down and he says, Father, I've sinned. And the father just runs to the son in this posture, in this moment of confession and humility, and says, I've got it back. Not only are you forgiven, he puts all that he'd lost and wasted back, gives him the full inheritance back. Oh, what a God we serve. Isn't Jesus wonderful? That when we come back in the right way, now I'd like you to think with me, I often think stories, I hope you don't mind, but just imagine if he came back to the father's house, hi, I'm back. I don't believe he would have been received like that. Did you miss me? I'm sure you missed me. After all, it is about me. He didn't come back in that attitude, did he? Nor did he come back saying, Father, it was so hard. Actually, it was everybody else. My friends let me down. It was them making excuses for his wrong behavior. Excuses, I think, you know, you and I are brilliant. We try and make up new ones every day. Why we can't pray, why we can't do this, why we can't do that, why we can't follow Jesus. Well, it's because, why? We're brilliant at excuses. But this man found the way to restoration. He said, no excuses, no, hi, I'm here, did you miss me? Father, I've sinned. And at that point, he's lifted up back into the right relationship and blessing and favor. Four cases. Enemy. An enemy did it. Secondly, bad circumstances. He'll restore all. Third, somebody else is responsible for what you're in. And that requires us to be forgiving and praying salvation. And finally, it was me. Praise God. Can we stand? Which one are you? Or maybe you're one, you're a bit of every one. Or maybe you're two out of the four. Maybe you can see that the enemy has come in. And the Lord says, pursue, overtake, you'll recover all. There's victory for you. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray now. And we're going to go straight actually into Hebrews. God is wanting to deal with where you are at so that he can begin a process. And I believe a season of restoration. Release a season of restoration. Isn't that wonderful? Imagine that. To restore all things to what they should be. And he says, come boldly, not condemned, but come because I have made a way. Jesus died for us to come in prayer. And we might obtain mercy. The mercy we need is God not treating us as we deserve, and us not treating others as they deserve. Forgiving. Being forgiven and forgiving. I wonder if we could just take a moment. If you're in a situation where someone else is responsible for what you're in, they've made decisions that were wrong. I wonder if you could just in this moment begin the process of real restoration. Yes, they should have listened to the Lord and to those God put around them. Or even listen to you. And they were not right. But I wonder if you could just pray and say, Father, I forgive them as an act of will. I choose to forgive. People who have done the wrong thing and caused pain, loss, all kinds of negative things, suffered abuse at their hands. I forgive. It's a big prayer, church. But it's a big step for you to be free to receive from the Lord. And I counsel you with all of the heart of God for you is that you will forgive. And I want to declare before you that I stand as one who forgives all who sin against me and against you, even others. And I pray for their salvation. Just pray for their salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray blessing. If you think the government or people have done you wrong, just pray your blessing. Pray blessing over them. At work, people have been wrong and treated you badly. And some of you are facing years of bad treatment up to date. I ask for the mercy of God to flow through you. Forgive as your Heavenly Father forgives you. Father, we forgive. We're a forgiving people. I want to be a forgiving person, to hold nothing against anyone. You might have to forgive leaders, old offenses with church leaders, maybe even me. Forgive. Ourselves right before you, before we pray for restoration. You might be the prodigal, and you know that you've contributed to what you're in. The Lord is a forgiving God, but you need to say, I own this as my own sin. I'm sorry, Lord. I want to come back and relocate to your will for my life. Come out of the bad things, the wrong things I'm in, and start moving into your will, back to you. Just confess your sin and say, Lord, I'm not going to stay repeating these problems. I'm going to repent, change, and come back to you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank him for his mercy, that he runs to embrace you as you set your heart and will to live again in the right place, righteousness. And where there is righteousness, there will be peace and there will be joy in the Holy Spirit. First of all, righteousness, right with God and right with others. Oh, Jesus, we're getting ready for miracles to be released this morning. Amen. This is the preparation, church, for restoration. Oh, Lord, we praise you for your mercy. Why don't you thank him anyway for his mercy to you? Thank him that he forgives you your sin, my sin. Father, thank you. I humble myself under your mighty hand. Thank you that you promise in due season to lift, that you're the lifting God, that you're the glory and the lifter of our heads. I thank you that you're the restorer of broken lives. You're the rebuilder of broken walls, that you are the one who heals and restores and delivers and brings back to what it should be and even better. And today, Father, we come to you to pray, restore, restore all that has been lost, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we can find grace to help. I just wonder if you could just reach out to him and say, Lord, I need your grace. Unearned favor, that you don't deserve it. It's just who he is. He's gracious and he gives. He gives grace as we come humbly before him today. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. Make it a real transaction. Make it a real transaction between you and the Lord. Receive grace. Grace. I'll restore the years the locusts have eaten. I'll restore all that has been lost. Thank you, Jesus. Master, restore. You're the master restorer. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Now, we're going to pray with passion for restoration, that God will make things as he intends them to be. Right? I'm going to pray from Psalm 34. There is this one scripture. It starts with the righteous. I believe God's been putting us right with him this morning. We're righteous by faith, but there's also the righteousness that comes from being right with God. Yes. How many of you know that you've done some business with the Lord this morning? You've done some business with it. Yeah, that's it. Come on, let's not be shy about restoration. I have received mercy. I've given mercy this morning. And now we cry out. Now, Bartimaeus didn't mumble. He didn't whisper. He said, Lord, when there's a cry in your heart that things will be right, be restored, the things that the enemy has taken, the things that people have done, God hears the cry. And look at this. He delivers them out of how many? Got any believers in the house for all? Anybody want to believe for all? I believe for all. All that's lost, restored. Let's lift our hands to Him. Heavenly Father, we come to You to cry out. Thank You, Jesus. We come and cry out before You, before Your throne. You're the healer. You're the restorer of the broken. Thank You that what is lost will be recovered. That like Job, as we've prayed for our friends, You will bring back different and double. Thank You, Lord, for health and healing. Begin a process today, a supernatural release of Your Spirit over our lives to bring restoration of all things, we pray. We cry out to the only One who can save, to our King who has all the resources to bring this right. And You are able to do far more than we could ask or imagine. You are able. And we lift up our voices to You, Jesus, because You're the One who restores our lives. Thank You, Lord, out of all our trouble. And I declare in the name of Jesus, restoration over every life, restoration over every family, restoration over every child, restoration over everybody who wants it, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Activate faith in the room right now to reach for restoration. In Jesus' name, reach for it, church. Reach for it. Thank Him for it. Thank You, Jesus. I praise Your holy name. Thanks, Lord. I believe. You know, the Lord said to me, He was going to activate a season of restoration this morning, and I've just sort of declared that out, a season of restoration. Because we're believing for it and we're in the right condition for it. We put our hearts and lives right with God and He will restore all that has been lost. Come on, let's lift up our hands and thank Him. Let's thank Him. Thank You, Jesus. So be it, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise Your holy name, Jesus. You are worthy to receive praise this morning. We look to You with expectation and thank You for what You're going to do in our lives. Thank You, Jesus. Wonderful. Bit of a different word this morning, but wisdom that builds the house, builds your life, builds your family, builds your future. Really.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.